PHP Radio
on the Hackers Paradise Podcast Network,
your number one source for all things golf.
Subscribe on iTunes to never miss an episode.
Hello, you golfing legends, and welcome back to another episode of the original Off Course. I'm your host, Dan Edwards, and joining me this week is my good buddy, Mr. James Miles. You can find James' content over on the Hackers Paradise homepage. He writes an absolute boatload of articles over there talking everything you need to know about equipment. You can also find him on the THP forums, sharing great information that he's found over the last 15 years. Being a, what would you even term yourself when it's just purely THP? Product lunatic?
Insane. Yeah. You know, like, yeah, we've hit not quite one third of my life, but we're kind of, well, I guess, yes, it's more than one third, right? Yes, it is. Okay. Yeah. Well, that's,
we're at the point of our lives where we're measuring everything. Like we're about to put flour in a dish we're about to bake. So like that's not great, but here we are. Either way, James, it's great to have you back on, buddy. It's been a minute.
It's been a while. I mean, I've survived plagues and PGA shows and chaos and all the other things. So I appreciate you having me back on, man.
Well, you can't feel that special because I just had Don Brown on not too long ago, and he talked about his entire squad getting knocked out for way too long. So it's not unheard of. But yeah, the PGA show had a little bite to it this year, did it?
Well, interestingly enough, I shook Don's hand at the PGA show, so I'm going to say that he got me sick, not the other way around. But
shots fired, I love it,
dude. From the talking to lots of people, it was a widespread thing. Which, of course, you've been there, like in that space with that many people, and honestly, the show floor was busier than I've seen it since my first show that I went to.
Really?
It was way up from the previous year. Now most of it was apparel and stuff. Way less hard goods as far as clubs go, but it felt like the old show. So it was elbow to elbow there for a while. So I'm not shocked I ended up being
sick. Well, give me an idea, or I guess give everyone an idea what the show was like overall. Did it surprise you the kind of content that was out there? Did it surprise you some of the new product you saw, or did it have that familiar PGA show vibe?
There was a little bit of everything. On the club side, I mean, we know everything that's out there. So it's more about talking to everybody that you know and seeing that. There were some small putter companies that have kind of carved their little corners out on things. The big OEMs, though, we know everything. Launch monitors galore, which was more so than I thought in the sim side as far as sim golf goes. And they had celebrities in booths. They had competitions going on, and you know, it felt like a fair with somebody out there yelling and all the other things going on. Rangefinders, you could not believe the rangefinders, and the bro rangefinder companies were literally out and about screaming and yelling in the aisles about their trophies they got and stuff. But then the apparel side was pretty cool. The apparel side was pretty chill. We saw some cool head cover stuff. We saw a lot of cool things from a lot of the apparel companies that I'm in love with, like Johnny O and some of those. And it was good, but it was cool to see it that full. I didn't expect it, especially after demo day with Jeremy and I out there in the rain. And, you know, demo day was kind of pathetic for a lot of reasons. So to see the show kind of back like that, even if it's not all the companies like TaylorMade not there and stuff, it was cool. It gave me a little hope for the future of it. I'll put it that way.
Yeah, I appreciated the rainy demo day. That plus all the illness was definitely making me feel good about missing out. the trends are something that always fascinates me. And there's always a buzz about something. I remember one of the first shows I went to, things like smaller GPS units and rangefinders were really coming up. And it's, you know, it's slowly grown to now everyone and their cousin has decided to start a rangefinder company, but It's not to say that everyone and their cousin has a rangefinder company that has the level of quality that you desire in that kind of investment. So, you know, it's interesting to make that connection, but my curiosity was there, you mentioned apparel, which I think is a little bit of a different discussion and certainly an interesting one, but you mentioned simulators and mm-hmm. That type of that digital element. Were you getting a sense where, because for this is a really long question, for a long time it was like they were the pillars of launch monitors, and mm-hmm. there's this like barrier to entry that exists where if you're lucky you can spend an hour on a simulator in a month and feel yep. really good about it. And now it's like you spend a couple $100, you have a version of a simulator available in your garage. So I'm curious what the vibe was like there. I assume the big hitters, the big players are there and talking through their product, but what was it like around that?
It was interesting. It was most interesting to see the crowds at each one and kind of how other people, I always like to see how other people are responding to things. Cause at the show, you get a lot of people who are in the industry, but maybe shouldn't be there necessarily, or they know somebody who knows somebody and they're kind of there. So to see their reactions to stuff, because you obviously have Bushnell working with Foresight, and that's a big thing that they've got going with it all. SkyTrack, obviously very familiar for our readers and things that we work with. Golf Zone is one that has kind of really picked up as far as being seen, I guess is a good way to put it. Full Swing was there, which Full Swing with the TGL thing right now kind of comes into it. But then there's some of the other ones like Garmin, and you mentioned the smaller units. Garmin got into it with a much smaller device, and now they're trying to create like a full-fledged GC looking unit. And so the ones you would expect to be busy and packed for technology were Foresight was busy the whole time. TrackMan was busy the whole time. But then there's some of the other ones. You get into the Full Swing stuff and with their different mats and textures. And that's kind of the big trend that I'm seeing in the sim software is everybody's trying to create, other than Foresight and some of those, because they don't need to because of brand recognition, the smaller ones are creating these hitting surfaces like, simulated bunkers and simulated rough and stuff like that. And that's kind of been, and there were a lot of people that were pretty fascinated about that and seemed like they really wanted to get in there and try to hit on some of that.
Yeah, I think the level of curiosity, and I believe a lot of PGA professionals working out of golf courses are prime target for the PGA show. And I think there is a pretty common shift, especially in my neck of the woods, where these golf courses are starting to recognize the value in having an all year system for their golfers. And that includes having an indoor simulator set up or seven to get their guys in there, having their beers and getting some value out of their membership. We actually have had quite a few simulator locations open up near us. And it is really funny to see the amount of people from our golf course showing up there the same day we do. So it's like, all right, this has basically become a home turf for us, So
of course like it's closed. Everybody goes there. Yeah.
Well, yeah. I mean, snow on the ground, you can't go golfing. So you go golfing, you know what I mean? And mm-hmm. the idea that, there is definitely a benefit for them having the liquid revenue, if you want to call it that you make a lot of money off these guys when they spend their afternoons there on the weekend. So, that has to be the next stage for a lot of these, especially private golf courses that have year round memberships in locations that don't allow them to play. You're starting to add that secondary level of benefit to your membership. And I think we're not that far off seeing more of it happen. And hopefully, selfishly, I'm hoping it happens at my home course. So, we'll see.
Well, it's going to be an interesting journey too, because you're going to see which clubs are going to choose, I guess, hardware versus software is kind of a good way to put it, right? I mean, to me, and I think you're similar, like Foresight's hardware is the best there is. Software wise though, there's some that have done some things that are really cool. So if you're playing to your membership, like what do they want? Are they wanting, cause not every club's just going to go out and buy a TrackMan. Let's be honest. And we both have our thoughts about TrackMan indoors. You love your italicized numbers. I know. And it's gotten better. It's gotten better with the golf ball and such, but that's a whole other journey. My point is, like, are you going to choose something that your membership is going to know? Or are you going to choose something that if you can get them in there, they're going to have fun and enjoy, sim rounds as opposed to chasing numbers? And it's return of investment for your club. My club has a room right now that's vacant that used to have one in it. And I have asked what happened and I've got no answers. So, you know, I agree with you. I think as we see more of these, I think the company that appeals to golf courses the most has got a chance to probably carve out a foothold that nobody really saw coming. Maybe not. Maybe I'm wrong, but it's an interesting thought.
Yeah, I think that the continued discussion of barrier to entry, especially when it comes to something like a golf course, is sure, you could have one room, but you could also have eight. You know what I mean? Like eight different segments to where the idea is, well, okay, yeah, we can get a setup in here that only really supports four golfers at a time who know each other. So there's a level of expectation. You can't just have one. It has to be like somewhere between 2 to 8, depending on the membership size, or even more.
And then are you going to teach on it, right?
Exactly.
Are you going to use it for that, or are you going to keep it for the enjoyment and the pastime side of things for groups to go play on? Like I think it's something that would be really easy to go too deep on, but you could also not do enough, and then everybody's like, well, what is this? I'm not going to waste my time on that.
Yeah, it starts to beg the question of what is golf for a lot of people. And I was going to save this discussion for later in the show, but I think we'll just bounce around because I think it's a really curious one. Everyone's celebrating on the THP forum right now. Cobra's Go Chase More commercial I just came out with. I know you love it.
I love it.
I think it really resonates with you as a golfer. And I think for me, it drew a lot of connectivity to what golf can be on a social aspect. I don't necessarily love everything that occurred during it. And by that, it's not that I don't like it. It just didn't resonate with me. But what did was the amount of times there were people just sort of surrounded by the game of golf. There were dudes on a rooftop chipping into a net, like little things like that. I'm just like, I mean, I have guys over to my house and we go down to the basement and putt on the putting green and talk smack to each other and mess around with equipment. I mean, golf is the central point of our friendship in so many ways. So to have a company come out and show the different sort of avenues to that was something I really enjoyed. I'll let you talk on it, and then I want to go in a certain direction on it. So tell me why you liked it so much.
Bring your ass. That's why I like it. For those of you that have watched it, you know what I'm talking about. If you haven't watched it yet, I really do urge you to, because it's different, right? We've seen companies try to kind of do the trendy thing and get groups in. But this, I think you kind of said it well, this kind of encapsulated like golf. They didn't try to just target one specific group, which is what I like about it. I mean, you mentioned us going, because I have been there in the basement dungeon and I have putted balls and built golf clubs. But likewise, we've been on golf trips before, like True Blue in Caledonia. We go play night golf. You know, we go out our back door and do things that otherwise, but it's camaraderie based and it's all about golf. So it was cool to see. I loved seeing Speed Golf Rob in there. I'm a big Speed Golf Rob guy. I like that he screams at me and makes me feel inferior, but then I learned something. But it was so out of character, but not out of character for Cobra, if that makes sense. I kind of had this reaction of, well, crap, that's what you should have been doing the whole time.
Hmm. Interesting. So, I don't
know, that's me. But
I think my first gut reaction to it as well, how Cali of them, you know, because Cali sort of runs that way. And then I realized like there's just more to it. It's not an unfair assessment to say that, but I think there's so much more depth to it than that. And yeah, I think you follow any THP experience on the forum. You see guys go and have their fill at dinner and then end up on a putting green or, you know, practice facility, you know, a giant bunker. And suddenly the crux of the evening is now who can out putt or out wedge who. You know, I think that's a big part of the conversation. There's always this discussion where golf has a barrier of some kind. It's like golf doesn't have to be an 18-hole round. Golf doesn't have to be a 9-hole round. Golf can be, you know, shit talking down at the local driving range while hitting and all these different forms. I mean, even the driving ranges now have the simulator setups where you can actually play around in it. It's kind of wild. So, you know, there are so many different versions of this game. You don't have to limit it to where people assume you need to limit it to. You don't have to, you know, put full pants, tuck your shirt in just to have a wedge competition on a rooftop. That is what golf should be. You know, it should be enjoyable and should connect people in different ways. So that really, really stood out to me. And I loved that part of the conversation. I think that's what's going to help this game move forward in a different way, not just on the golf course, but elsewhere.
Yeah, because I don't think we need to constantly be about grow the game, grow the game, grow the game, grow the game. I think that's the wrong message. I thought that's been the wrong message for a lot of times. I think it needs to be enjoy the game the way that you're going to. Like, there's different levels. I mean, crap, it could be putt-putt. That's like whatever falls into your purview of what you enjoy. I think that needs to be it. It doesn't necessarily need to be, kind of like you said, golf doesn't have to be an 18-hole round. You don't have to join a league and get a handicap and do all these other things to be part of golf. And that's kind of the beauty of it. But golf is also very black and white as far as the old school and the new school. And it's kind of finding that in between. And I guess maybe that's what appeals to me about this, is it's the in between, right? You get a little bit of everything in there. That's kind of cool.
Yeah. I'm bouncing around all these different ways we can sort of market this. So it's like be golf, represent golf, live golf, all this stuff that you can just really have fun with a game that doesn't revolve around a golf course. Mm-hmm. I mean, frankly, I've seen that someone came up with, it looks like cornhole, but it's like you use a wedge to chip on the beach for it. Like, golf can be all those things. You just need to be positionally correct for it and have the things you need. That to me, I think, tells the true story about golf, is the camaraderie that exists in it. You know, the simple part about how infuriating and impossible and cruel and brutal the game is.
The chase.
The chase to perfection. I mean, that is obviously a massive component that anyone who's hit a halfway decent shot in golf understands. But that doesn't mean that's the sole focus of it, right? Mm-hmm. Like, again, I'm sort of overdoing it here, but I really think that helped to tell the golf story for me more than I thought I would with some of the situations I definitely wouldn't see myself in.
Yeah. No, but cool. I mean, but it's because it's the overarching theme of this game, sport, whatever, however you want to label it. Like, it can be all those things. And just because I don't enjoy that one part of it doesn't mean somebody else is. And I don't know. I was very surprised whenever I watched it, because, like, I'll be honest, with a lot of the marketing stuff now, even from companies that I really do like, I think, oh God, here we go, because we've seen so many bad ones. we've seen ads with people, right-handed golfers holding a left-handed club in the back of their top swing, and all the mistakes you could make because you try to bring these companies in, these outside sources, to tell people what golf is. Whereas, like, this one finally felt like it's a golf brand, a golf entity talking about what golf can be instead of what golf is. And that's really neat.
Such a good way of putting it. I mean, we're talking about what you're describing is you put golf things in a non-golfer's hand in a golf situation versus what we got here, which is you put golfers and golf things in a non-golf situation and let them thrive. I think that is so interesting. We've had so many conversations on THP where it's like, I'm not buying that shirt because that dude looks like that's the first time he's ever held a golf club in his life.
Yep. It probably was the first time he's ever held a golf club in his life, right?
That stuff drives me crazy. And it's like, it's not that hard to find people who have touched a golf club before, is it? Mm-mm. I don't think so. I want to circle that back to this whole country club vibe as well, because part of this experience, part of this sort of move indoors kind of vibe we're getting out of the game, it doesn't necessarily just need to be in a simulator. I mean, you could clear basically a dining room and put in a situation where it could be a putting lab or, you know, a short game area that has maybe some sort of alternative to actual golf balls that people could have fun with. Everyone talks at my golf course about changing right up in front of the bar. There's a nice flat area. They're like, just put a putting green here. We'll be here betting and being degenerates for hours. And you put that inside, you've got something to do all winter. You know, I think golf is with this shift, this willingness to play inside the simulators are presenting now. I think golfers are going to be more inclined to adapt to that sort of situation.
I agree. I think the issue that we're in, I mean, my club has got, we've got like four dining rooms, you know, and I constantly, I'm like, well, it's cool when we have like our big member guest and our member and all these other things, or we hope and like, and you've got all these spaces, but I'm like, do we really like that hasn't been used since 1989 in its regular capacity. So why can't you take that and make it into something else? Well, then you run into the, well, that's not the way we've done things. Right. And I think we're at that point right now. We're like that, the willingness of the golfer to do simulator stuff, to do indoor stuff, to do indoor putting green stuff has grown exponentially. I think it's much more accepted. I think a lot of the older golfers, if you get them in there with a group and they figure out they can gamble on it or they can do whatever, right, and have their drinks and not be at home, and they're going to love it, but it's getting over that barrier of, but that's dining room three. Well, we can set it up
it
to where
it was dining room three.
It's either dining room three, or we can set it up to where when something that big happens, we can still make that space that, but why are we just letting it sit, still paying electricity on it and all the other things whenever we could do so much more? I'm not saying put like full simulator bays in it by any means, but I mean, there's so much stuff that I think a golf course, a country club, and a professional teaching staff could take advantage of if they wanted to, by just kind of broadening horizons. But again, you battle your clientele, right? They're the ones paying the bills. They're the one doing all the other things with it. It's kind of an interesting thing.
Well, let me challenge that a little bit, because I personally have had some issues playing these winter simulator rounds where me and the buddies, it's Trackman, it's indoors, it's the one that sits on the ceiling and looks down, so there's, you know, whatever going on. The direction that you play is purely based on the small cut of material that's in front of you. And the worst part about it is I know it's not that wrong. I just know I normally set up to the right and it sort of folds over, but now this thing is like forcing me to aim straight, so now everything draws off the line. I'm bitchy about it, but that's neither here nor there. The point being, There are numerous situations where with the visual capture of the head at contact, you look at this and you see the result. It's just not believable. And I think there's a depth of that I'm trying to get to. It's not necessarily just a TrackMan thing. Seeing is believing, and that is almost 90% an outside conversation. I say this all the time. If I'm going to get fit for something, I want to be on the open range, because I don't care what that thing spits out of me. I want to see the ball flight as it is, to have faith in that's what's happening. And I think people get really, what's the word? Not numb. They get obsessed with data. They get tunnel vision, and they get absolutely fried out by the fact that whatever that's saying is the result they have to deal with or accommodate. So there is a level of distrust, I think, that exists right now. And paralysis is the word I was looking for.
Yep,
you get so deeply wrapped up in that you either have a choice of, well, I don't believe it, or then you try and manipulate it to make it work more into your favor. Is that going to be a pretty significant barrier into getting people to believe in the indoor product?
I think it involves having someone there that can tell that story. I think the scary thing about that for me is the same thing can be said about slow play on a golf course, that if you have a professional staff or whoever else there that is doing their due diligence to try to educate golfers, then that gets a little bit better. There's always going to be slow golfers. Just like on this stuff, there's always going to be people who don't fully buy into what they see, right? But if you have somebody there explaining the overarching themes, the most dangerous thing with launch monitors, simulators, whatever else, is putting an addicted golfer on it and telling them, okay, if you do this, your ball speed goes higher. If you do this, we can get your spin lower, and that's going to give you more distance. Because the second you say ball speed and distance, nothing else matters, and they get totally tunnel visioned on it. And I think it's done some... I think it can do a lot of damage to a lot of golfers. I went through the phase of chasing numbers on launch monitor when we first at THP started using you know, GC2s and having that access all the time, you're like, well, crap, what, how much work can I get? Duh, I want my ball speed up higher. And with time, I've learned, like, you could put me on a launch monitor and I can make a club do get whatever numbers I want eventually, right? But golfers just entering into that area don't necessarily know that. So they see these things or they're told these things in an indoor fitting in a one-time shot, and it's either taken as gospel or they never want to be fit again because they went outside and they didn't see what they were told they were going to see, right? It's mm-hmm. that false false bill of goods, I guess. I don't know.
Yeah, I think my commentary that I've already stated, but I'll say it again, is another big component of that. The amount of self-correction that exists, or unintended correction that exists in alignment in a simulator. Whereas if you go outside, like how many people do you play with that absolutely do not set up at their target line? They're either way left or way right. Most of them, right? Whereas you go into a simulator, and what I'm looking at is a small strip of cut out grass or turf or whatever you want to call it, that is very directional. So you have this rectangle and you're naturally designed is to line up directly to that mm-hmm. because you have that visual target line. So whatever you've done outside will automatically change from a flight path inside, because now you're actually at your target as opposed to aiming 30 yards right, which is what you do outside and don't realize it. And you can't figure out, well, why is everything finishing way to the left? It's like, because you're in a different situation right now. And I've sort of had to catch myself on that a little bit. But that's not the extent of what I'm concerned about. I think we have a mutual friend who has what I love to call the perfect simulator swing, where the numbers aren't that scary for the sim with him. And he manages to make some of the craziest contacts from the camera angle. So like way heel and down mm-hmm. goes dead nut straight down the middle. And it's just like, dude, why? First of all, good for you. Like, you have cracked the simulator.
I hate you, but good for you. Yeah.
You got to stop showing up 10 minutes early and putting your Game Genie codes into this thing before we get here.
God, we're old.
But the other part is, like, there's a level of disbelief that exists there that, you know, you see a guy hit it on the heel, you expect it not to go dead straight. And especially when they make an oof noise after they've done swinging, you don't expect anything good to happen. And yet somehow it exists okay. So it does end up being a different story. So I want to circle all that back to you and ask, of those people that go into the sim and have a level of expectation and see these things happen, so maybe what they define as their good swing is garbage from what the simulator says, then their buddy steps up and basically hits one off the adapter dead down the middle. You know, there's a level of confidence that's required to just accept that as a result that you need in a simulator that you don't have to get outside.
Well, I mean, it's not real golf, right? And we're talking about wanting golf to be more involved in all these things and that everything's golf. And I realized I just circled all the way back around and said, it's not real golf, but pardon me, that you can't sit there and that's the hardest thing to get through to people. Whenever I used to have my high schoolers come over and we were practicing indoors because of weather or whatever else, the same thing that you just said would happen. They're now at a perfect setup and it becomes either the club's broken, I'm broken, golf's broken, the world's broken. And like you would see sometimes people leave, like kids leave with like all confidence gone. It's gone.
Mm-hmm.
And it's getting them to understand that like it's, you almost have to think of it like just a video game if you're just playing sim golf.
It's a video crazy game. You said that, because I'll tell you what, man, every time we go in there, I would say 20 times in a 2 hour period, someone makes a comment about this game, you know what I mean? Whereas you go outside and you're never saying this game is broken. You know what I mean? It's funny how your mind shifts on that. Mm-hmm. Now I'll admit I'm a little bit more wrapped up in the, why the hell am I three putting from 9.7 feet when it's set to tour putt, and I have no way of controlling that. For whatever reason, the simulator hates me when it comes to putting. Auto putting, I should say. I definitely don't putt when I'm inside. But you know, there's a level of humor that has to exist with that, and I think that circles back to the last part of our conversation, being that you need to have fun in these sort of alternative golf moments. The guys who are chipping on the rooftop aren't exactly shooting for absolute precision. They're just trying to have a good time and incorporating what they love into it. And I think that's what we've started to really encapsulate when we go play our indoor rounds is, will our buddy swing out of his shoes and try and rip a ball through the simulator? Will our buddy have the Callaway logo from the bottom of his driver end up imprinted on his golf ball? And will I get 21 putts in a 9-hole stretch after hitting every green regulation? And all the answers are, well, two of three.
Yeah. The answer is yes. It's going to happen, right?
Yeah. So no, I think it's fun, but I also love the idea that it's becoming more commonplace, and I'm curious to see how long does it take, 5 years, 10 years, before the majority percentage of people who love this game start to lean into that and lean in it the right way and stop looking at golf outside as the only option.
I think the cop-out answer is, I think we're closer than we ever have been before. And you look at things throughout us growing up, right? You mentioned Game Genie, right? Like we go back to these things and as time goes on, the advancements and how much more accessible some of it becomes. I mean, crap, now we can play whatever we want on our phones. I think the same thing is starting to really happen with launch monitors, not in the sense of, I don't ever think we're going to get like a super badass launch monitor for a really cheap price. You're going to have to pay something. But I think the simulator side of things is going to advance to where it becomes a viable entity for guys to have and to do things with. And I think with that comes the learning to just use it for what it is instead of trying to make it into something else and trying to chase these numbers and do stuff like that.
Hmm. Yeah. I mean, I'm looking forward to all of it, but you know, the one thing that I haven't mentioned yet, and I actually just posted on THP, was that stat tracking has always been a mega, mega, mega stress for me. I love the idea. I'm not as bad as I used to be in the sim, but like, this is how I feel. When I hit a shot that sucks on the golf course, right, the first thing I do in my mind is hit mental mulligan. So I go and play the shot fine, whatever, but that thing is gone from memory. And I made the giant leap this year to start my my shot tracking adventure with the V5 from our friends over at ShotScope. I am incredibly stressed out to do
it. I love it.
But I am completely on board, and I have intent of going the full year just to see how it goes, just to track the progress and see what it's like. Because I feel a little bit foolish that I don't have a real benchmark to talk through. You know, people ask me about stat tracking and I give them a blank stare and say,
that's, I just golf,
far, far too scary for me. Yeah.
I just golf.
So yeah, long story short, it's something that I'll probably be able to bring to the conversation here a fair bit, because the numbers will slowly add up to averages, which will add up to a little bit more relevance to me. But yeah, how do you think this is going to go for me, buddy?
Man, I think it's going to be fun.
Yeah.
I'm so genuinely excited, because I don't necessarily think that it's going to be a situation where you learn anything miraculous about your game, because you're so, I don't know, you think things out to every degree already. But so now you're putting it into something to where it can be referenced, right? It can go back and look at. But I mean, you're like me, you'll finish a round and you could play every single shot in your head and know what goes through everything.
Yeah.
So now with this, like, I just think, I don't know. I honestly don't know what your reaction is going to be long term, but I'm really excited, because I think you're kind of the perfect case for it to like just see like what can it do?
Yeah, I think for the record, I've been sort of teasing this on THP for a long time, and the community members there who are familiar with my game have been bugging me to do it. And I asked a long time ago, like, hey, give me some good reasons to do this. And they start mentioning like familiarity with what you need to work on and being able to track some of that. And I said, listen, I'm a lot of things, but confused at what I need to work on is far from it. I know exactly what I need to work on at all times. So I'm really looking forward to seeing if I'm right about that. And any given time of the year, if that's what I really do need to focus on, or whether I'm completely full of it and if this becomes a saving grace, which could be cool. I mean, it'd be a heck of a story if it was. What about you, man? Do you ever track stats?
I did not the last year, and I feel like it cost me. I mean, but I was in soft cap hell with the new course and everything else that went through it. And that's finally over now that I've kind of adjusted everything after a year at the new place. But I was a big decade guy, and not necessarily tracking stuff, but using it to navigate my way and think my way around stuff. And I got away from it. I'd like to get back into it. Mm-hmm. I don't know if I have the patience to data track anymore. Like, it's because I mean, I get out in the morning after dropping off kids, like I just want to go as fast as I can and get done with my round and get back off everything else. So the I need to see how far tagging on some of the stuff has come. And I know ShotScope's killed it as far as making that way easier. And I kind of I don't know. I see all the merits of it because I used to beg my kids to stat track. You know, I'd send them with the old school, here's your notepad. And I want you to document, you know, putts, everything else, where you lost strokes, everything. So to just have it in an easy access place like that, I think is pretty cool for the people that can mentally do it. I don't think it's for everybody, but I think for those that like really want to improve, like basic, like amateur golfers, I don't think there may not be a quicker way than learning about your game and where you're leaking the most stuff so you can optimize your time and your effort.
Yeah, what I'm most curious about through this whole process is, do I add pressure to where I know it's soft, or do I, take the time to focus and really refine? That's the one thing I'm really curious about. When I have to willingly accept what's bad or what's not good, does that improve my product or make me an emotional mess?
Does it ruin it all?
Yeah, we'll see, man. I don't know. I'm so excited to do it. It's something that our buddy Josh is kind of laughing at me because he's like, well, everyone knows you have it now, so you got to do it. It's like, oh, no.
I love it. I think it's great, man. Like, it's going to be a journey. That's cool.
One of the things I wanted to wrap up with, I guess we've still got quite a bit of time if we desire it, but TGL has been an interesting addition to the golf conversation and landscape. First of all, have you watched any of it?
I've watched twice.
Okay.
I don't know. I know the whole big key to it is like accessibility as far as a time for people, like prime time and being able to watch stuff and all these other times. But I like it happens to be usually some of my most busy times as dad of three and all the other stuff, Mr. Mom. But I've watched twice. I watched the first go round, which I thought was not great. But I expected it to not be great because they're kind of finding their footing and all these things. And then I watched, not this most recent one, but prior to, and I thought it was a lot better. I thought the guys are now trying to actively make it more entertaining, which is the biggest thing that was needed, is just like show some freaking personality. This is your chance to show personality. The screen, the giant screen is awesome. Hitting from the grass and the sand and all the things is awesome. Seeing Kisner skull a shot is awesome. But you got to show the personality with it. And I feel like it's gotten better with that.
Do you think they're I'm going to ask you a relatively challenging question. And we don't usually put things on blast on here, but I mean, what an opportunity with this. There is a level of quality that exists in the software space that has been there for a very long time, and they opted for something that maybe isn't at the very tippity top of the iceberg when it comes to shot tracking. And they're also selecting golf courses with no direct relationship to the viewer, which I think is a really interesting choice. What's your take on that? Do you think they should have gone with something more known like a TrackMan or a Foresight? Do you think they should be playing Sawgrass or Pebble each week? What's the thought?
I think I like the way they did it because they tried to detach reality from what this kind of was, as far as they didn't want it to feel like going to a regular tour stop. Plus, honestly, with some of the guys, I imagine they didn't want to play sim golf on a regular tour stop and go out and do something really terrible or really great, and then vice versa in real life, it goes the opposite way and have to deal with that. As far as the hardware goes, I think they're using Full Swing. Actually, I know they're using Full Swing, and they've got like 18 of them set up. And it's, I've not been able to hit golf balls on Full Swing. I've watched a lot of people hit golf balls on Full Swing. I've watched a lot of the YouTube guys that were picked up by Full Swing. And I think it's got merits, but I think, and I have no knowledge of it, right? We're that's our disclaimer. We have no knowledge of what's actually going on. If I had to guess, they jumped in either at a very financially beneficial situation for somebody to be the launch monitor sponsor for all this and the entity for all this, and try to establish something for them. I think there's been some growing pains. I think some of the data's been really bad and some of the results have been really bad. I can't sit here and tell you though that if they'd have gone Foresight, we wouldn't see any of those growing pains.
Yeah, that is the interesting part of the equation, right? Like we don't know what it could be or what it should be, but what I found fascinating about it was you needed to create some sort of validity to the process, right? Not every golfer believes in the indoor product at this time. So what better way to do it than to put the biggest names out there? They're doing that with the golfers, of course, but why not with the software? Why go for something a little bit less known? And I'll go back to the golf course thing. One of the holes they play is this massive par five with a giant, diamond in the middle. And it's like, is that golf? Does it feel like golf? Don't you want them to have this sort of golf presence when they're doing this, presenting it out to millions of people?
I think they were afraid of making it too golf-like, and they were trying to keep in with some of that video game feel.
Okay.
And because I think the last, you know, when they're doing this, they're trying to do it to be different, right? So the last thing that they want is something that may come off to people as boring. Well, I've seen them hit this shot on Pebble umpteen times over the years or whatever else, so let's do something different. But the danger with that, right, is you could go too far the other way. And I do think they've gone too far the other way. I think you don't have to use tour stops, but man, there's some fantastic courses around the world that you could plug into there, and it may draw a little bit more attention from a golfer that is spectating, right?
Yeah. That's kind of the point, right? Mm-hmm. What I was curious about is my instant perspective was a little bit negative, and I figured they didn't want to pay any licensing fees to go play these golf courses.
So. It might be. I mean, that's just like with the launch monitors. Like, if it was a bid out thing, right, for who the entity was going to be, as opposed to going to somebody and saying, "Hey, TrackMan, do you want to be the thing?" Which they could have, and TrackMan could have said no, and Foresight could have said no, and whatever. But if it's a bid out thing, then that's what you're going to get and what you're going to work with. I think it's a great opportunity for Full Swing. I really do. I think it's a great opportunity for them, but it's also kind of dangerous. But again, what golfers are watching. We spent this whole conversation talking about getting used to a simulator setup and taking it for what it is, as opposed to real golf. Maybe that doesn't faze people. Maybe it's just the lunatics like you and I, who, when we go hit on TrackMan and see it italicized numbers, are like, well, what the hell? Maybe we're the vast minority of it and the rest don't, you know, pay attention to such things. I don't know.
I'll tell you one thing. I would love to get on that putting green. It looks
crazy fun. It looks fun. It looks like a lot of fun. I think the giant projector screen looks awesome. I think a lot of it has got way more thought into it than I expected. And we got the delay, and I guess after they delayed it, I should have known that they were actually doing, you know, some real work in it. It's not near as half-assed as I thought we might get. But like, the coverage is getting better.
What did you
think?
They're going to be sitting at a golf galaxy?
I mean, would that be amazing? You've got Bubba over there, the fitting pro, who's just like, yeah, I could get you 3 more mile an hour, Tiger. You just got to give me a second, right?
Sure. Yeah. I thought the growing pains mostly were in the production. I think they leaned a little too hard on what big names they could bring out to be interested in. I thought that was really cheesy first couple weeks. I think they've improved on that a lot. The one thing I think golf needs to do a better job is connecting people to the experience. And that's one thing that I think YouTube Golf has done an unbelievable job of, is bringing your interest to the individual player that is front and center. And always hitting a shot or creating something funny. And I think that's the challenge that the tours are going to have right now, is the alternative to tour golf is entertainment and golf shots. You can choose, do I want to sit and listen to some guy talk about something that means nothing to me for 20 minutes while we watch guys walk down a fairway, or do I want to go laugh my face off for 20 minutes watching a YouTube video with absolutely no effort whatsoever on my behalf? Like, I'll tell you what, man, I watched the Spit and Chicklets boys the other day, Party On with Bob Does Sports, and I was dying laughing the whole time. And I'm like, the amount of connection you have to these guys, hockey players and golfers of all skill levels, let's call it, was amazing. And it's like, if the tour can find a way to normalize this genuinely entertaining product and add golf shots to the experience, it will really help differentiate. And I think TGL might be that sort of connecting point for the tour to realize it.
I think it could be if they have Bryson DeChambeau.
Interesting. Why?
Because that's the exact personality that you're talking about, and he's found his footing and his presence. And I don't like Bryson. I've made no qualms about it. I'm not a fan for a lot of reasons, but you cannot argue with what he has taken YouTube and what he has done with it and what he has molded his persona into. And if you take someone like that, I think you mentioned, like, they had the stars and all these people out to go watch guys hit golf balls into a screen and on the green, and it didn't connect. Well, I think they also thought that by putting some of these big names out there that they were just automatically going to have this personality. I think some are trying. I think JT's trying. I watched one of the tournaments the other day, and he was on the range. He was on the range hitting golf balls. Afterwards, he told them, come on and interview me. And that was like one of the coolest things I've seen the PGA Tour do in forever, because it was genuine and it was personality. So I think you're getting some of that. But with a person like Bryson, they are all those things, because they've now been in that YouTube segment with those guys, literally with Grant and all those guys, and they've kind of figured it out. And I think the tour sorely needs that. They've got to find the bridge to the gap, right? You have to bridge the gap, and you have to let these guys show personalities, or else it is guys walking down a fairway with some commentator talking dry in our ear, whispering to us about what's going to happen on a shot that we know none of us can hit, but they can. And there's no connective tissue to the spectators. And I think that's what YouTube's done great at. And I do think there's a segmentation point for YouTube right now. If there's a bunch of people that think it's stupid because they are a little bit older than maybe what it is. And then I think we're kind of in that threshold of, well, this is kind of cool. Like, this has some redeeming value. Like, I'm a big Bob Does Sports guy. Like, this has some redeeming fun because it's golf. I love golf. It's fun. I love fun. And it's not taking itself too seriously. And
well, I think the problem is
nice.
We are in a really weird situation, because I took all of this stuff personally when golf shit the bed a couple years ago. I mean, nothing that could have gone right went right. It was all incredibly ugly. Everything's about money. Every Twitter post, it seems like, from whatever tour is talking about the size of the purse right now and the amount of money people are making. Yep. It's like, why in the hell, like, do I see any of that money? Why do I care what these guys are making? That is the least important part of the conversation to me. So I separated. I went and watched. I found my content elsewhere. I posted on THP with like-minded golfers talking about product. I went to YouTube and found incredible channels that show golf courses around the world. There's some
really good stuff out there
with pretty solid skill levels. And if not for that, unbelievable video editing quality to go along with it. So I was never bored. And I think the problem here is you can't go back from that. You can't go from genuinely entertained for an hour to dry for an hour waiting for the next shot. Your expectation, it will not come back down. It gets to a point and the expectation either falls or rises on that bar. It's never going to come down. So, you know, go ahead.
You can't put it back in the box.
Yeah, you cannot, man. You can't. And you know, part of what I wonder is the NFL is trying this really painfully weird yet totally understandable decision to put things like Nickelodeon, SpongeBob Super Bowls out there. They're trying
an
alternative audience that captivates both the people who want it the way it is and the kids or the younger generations. Now, I'm going to offer an idea that I haven't really expressed yet, and I think it's quite curious. Would it really be that hard for Tour Golf to have two broadcasts? One that's just like pure shot content and really high energy engagement, and one that's like this sort of traditional approach to the conversation. Well, it couldn't be that hard, could it?
No, think of the Manning cast, right? Like when we're talking about watching Monday Night Football or whatever, where you have your main broadcast, but then you can watch Peyton and Eli or whichever one that is. Like, it's kind of the same thing. Like, you could have, I actually think that's a great idea, because you have to try these things. And kudos to the NFL. Some of it sucks. But if you don't try, what are you going to do? And the PGA Tour doesn't even try. And that's why we got where we are. So even if they get Bryson back and they get these guys back, what are they really going to do?
Yeah.
Are they going to let him show personality? Like, I don't know. It's frustrating.
The interesting piece of this is there are fairly easy ways to pump video content into a live feed for someone to react to. You know, it's not like you have to add content from a video perspective. You're simply feeding it into a source and then someone can react to it all the way through. Honestly, man, I would listen to Paul Bissonnette talk about golf for 4 hours one day. I think it would be absolutely hilarious seeing him react, because he's so personable, man. I saw they had Fat Perez down in Hawaii. Yep. They were absolutely eating that up. Like, it's just they have endless options to provide this sort of commentary. And the fact that they aren't doing anything about it is weird to me.
And likewise, I mean, originally the story was, well, we don't have cameras everywhere. We don't record every shot. Well,
you should.
There's cameras on every freaking hole. Like, and if you're not, yes, if you're not, then why aren't you? Because this is like your treasure trove of content, both during the event, after the day's round is ended, leading into the next round. Like, it's all there, and you're so damn stubborn. And that's the most frustrating thing about it. And that's why I like the YouTube stuff. It's not stubborn and stuffy, and it's different. Some of it's bad. Most of it is actually shockingly good. Some of it is spectacularly good. And that's fun. It makes golf fun. It makes watching golf fun. That's all I want.
I'm into it. I'm looking for something way more interesting. And there's a lot of competitive content out there that I'm going to chase if it's not there. And I'm not saying it's live. I watched the In the Lights live tournament. I thought that was interesting because being at night, and I had to put up with listening to them drone on about how hard it is to read the greens at night for, 2 hours. And that wasn't any better. And
it's the old tendencies of golf coming back though, right?
They're like, it's like, oh my God, get over it.
Yeah. Everybody watching knows how hard it is to hit a golf ball like they do, or to putt like they do, and to do all this stuff. Like, stop telling us how hard this stuff is. We all know.
What I want to know is how the tour got Rory putting at night for the entire 18 holes to finish his tournament this past week. That was rough, dude. That was hard to watch. We'll see, man. We'll see what if TGL can thrive and sort of force the tour to rethink what their program should be, or at least consider the idea of offering an alternative source, even if it's live streamed or fed to like ESPN Plus, which a lot of people have. Mm-hmm. I mean, there are so many options out there to make this better. They just need to do something. And I'll tell you what, it's not getting on Twitter every damn week telling me how many millions the next guy won. I just don't care.
Well, because the upping of the purses obviously didn't fix anything. So you might want to move away from that story.
Yeah.
Like, yeah.
Unless they're giving that purse to Vladdy Guerrero Jr. so he'll stay in Toronto. I do not care. All right, my guy. Well, what a fun episode. I feel like every episode you come on, we have a list of things. Today I had four. And we took a ride on what I think is pretty topical stuff right now. So always fun to have you on, buddy. What's next for you? You playing golf yet or no?
No, we just got a bunch of ice and snow, and the wind chill is currently minus 18 outside. So, but next Tuesday, it's going to be 70 degrees. So welcome to Oklahoma.
I'll be there Wednesday.
Right. I've got the sim set up. I got everything back up and running. We've got a bunch of clubs into review. So I'll be hooked up until I get back outside, but I'm ready to get going.
Cool. Well, you will find James on the forum and on THP's homepage, writing all the great content you can possibly imagine about products. So go check him out there. We're also going to have a thread up on THP talking about this particular episode. So if you have incredibly strong opinions about things, I just realized we skipped an entire piece that I was really looking forward to talking about. So we'll get you back on.
I love keeping you on your toes. It's my job.
There are some releases coming up that will add to this conversation, so it's fine. But yeah, we'll have a conversation on the forum about this topic. So come discuss them with us, yell at us, say whatever you need to say.
Now it's time to send it over to Don Brown for this week's Shaft Education, brought to you by True Temper.
Hey everybody, Don Brown back here with another Shaft University. Today's question, taper versus parallel, what's the difference? And the answer to that question is, boy, does it depend. So there's a lot of different ways in which shafts are made, and to taper or left to parallel, and depending on the shaft structure, that can change entirely whether a parallel plays like a taper tip shaft or not. So we'll start here with the GOAT, dynamic gold. So everybody knows that on a taper tip dynamic gold, this is tapered to fit in the head. What you don't realize is up here, just above it, this step is 395. Meaning, if you were to cut this off, this would no longer fit into a parallel tip iron head. So when we make parallel tip dynamic gold, instead of this last step being 395, now it's got to be 370. So it's not going to be quite as stable in a parallel tip as it is in a taper tip. Now, if we talk about graphite shafts, a lot of times we're just making a parallel tip shaft and we're putting a taper into the end of it. So in that instance, you are going to have a parallel tip that performs a lot more like a taper tip. All that to say, it's really model dependent. There's no one blanket answer that covers taper tip versus parallel tip within one shaft model. So you have questions about one of our specific models, reach us out to us on social media. We'll get you an answer.
James, any final thoughts for me today?
I got nothing, man. I appreciate you having me back on. It's always
a good time. Heck yeah. Hey, if you guys are playing golf this weekend, I don't know where you're doing it because it's cold everywhere, but make it count. Maybe it's sim golf. Call it a liar if you need to. It's totally wrong. You didn't hit that shot. It did.
It's a video game.
But if you are playing, have a great time. And if you are playing with a buddy, please tell them they're good at golf because they probably need to hear it. We'll see you guys next week.
THP Radio on the Hackers Paradise Podcast Network. Your number one source for all things golf. Subscribe on iTunes to never miss an episode.